You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News,
and always streaming on the Civic Media
app. A manhunt is underway in Texas for a shooter who killed five people in the town of Cleveland. Police say intoxicated 39-year-old Francisco Oropeza refused to heed calls to stop shooting guns late Friday night, then walked to the house of the neighbors who had asked him to mind a sleeping baby and started shooting. Five people killed, the youngest just 8 years old. Jacinto County Sheriff Greg Capers says they found the suspect's phone.
He could be anywhere now. We located the device that we were looking for, found it abandoned. There was some articles of clothing laying around. The tracking dogs from Texas Department of Corrections picked up the scent, and then they lost that scent in the water.
Americans evacuated in a convoy in Sudan as a ceasefire is extended for another 72 hours. The U.S. Army ordering mandatory training following two mid-air helicopter collisions in recent weeks that have left 12 service members dead. This is ABC News. President Biden last week making it official he's running for re-election in 2024. But at age 80, his age gives some Americans, even Democrats, cause to ask, can he be an effective second-term president? ABC This Week host Martha Raddatz took to the suburbs to ask some voters where their votes will fall.
We went to Northampton County in the Lehigh Valley, a bellwether county that voted for Obama twice, then flipped to Trump in 2016, before going blue with Biden in 2020. Propelled by voters like Steve Davis, aren't motivated by party, instead inspired or uninspired by candidates.
When you look at Biden, you voted for him in 2020. What gives you pause if you're having some sort of pause?
Obviously his age and also getting the party together to accomplish something.
Comparison is what Biden is banking on, that voters will dislike the alternative enough to go out and vote for him.
Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the grave digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, out come tickets.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A manhunt.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. President Biden wants to raise taxes on Americans earning more than $400,000 a year. The rate would go from the current 3.8% to 5%. The new revenue would be used to shore up Medicare. Some of the biggest supporters of the bill are those who would get taxed the most. More from Eric Gladys.
Morris Pearl with the group Patriotic Millionaire says there's more than enough money to fund Medicare. He argues the wealthiest Americans, especially those living off of their investments, can and should be paying more.
We can ask the financially challenged people who need Medicare to sacrifice more by having less medical care, or we can ask the ultra-rich to sacrifice more by being a little bit less ultra-rich.
Biden's proposal would keep Medicare solvent for at least the next 25 years, according to estimates by the Medicare Office of the Chief Actuary. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has promised it will not advance in Congress. Critics say raising taxes would hurt the economy. They argue that people would spend less if their earnings drop. Pearl agrees that the economy depends on consumer spending and says working Americans who spend most of what they bring home should be allowed to keep more of their money.
The very rich people are not going to spend more money. They'll just become a little bit richer.
More than 65 million people across the U.S. depend on Medicare coverage, but the fund's trustees warn that cuts to benefits will be necessary by 2028 without increased revenues. Pearl notes that the nation's economy was strong under the Republican Eisenhower administration, when the wealthiest Americans pay tax rates up to 90% on their second, third, and fourth millions.
And there's no reason why people who make a lot of money now should be paying not the same tax rate of people who work for a living, but actually lower tax rates. We need to change the system.
This is Eric Galatis reporting.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, out come tickets.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Is it a good thing or a bad thing that our political leaders are way more religious than we are? 844-967-2789. Now, full disclosure, I would say the three of us, Jane Madner, Greg Bach, me, Kristen Bry, not religious people.
I am not.
Jane is not.
I am an atheist.
I don't know if I'm an atheist. I was raised Catholic, and then...
So you're atheist light.
You could be agnostic.
Well, I think it's I believe in being a good person. Like, I feel like what's funny is that there's so much of the actual, like, Christian beliefs of, like, being a good person and taking care of others and stuff that is, like, very much at the core fabric of who I am. But as far as, like, going to church, feeling like I'm talking to someone whenever I was praying, like, that kind of stuff, like, that's just a disconnect for me. And so, and on average, while we are not in the majority... Year over year, there's less and less of the American public who identifies as any organized religion.
Yeah.
As of right now, it's about 65.4%. Versus Congress, which is at 90%. That's just Christian.
Well, you asked the question. Repeat the question for me again.
So the question is, so the premise is this. The share of U.S. adults and Congress members who identify with religion... is very different. And our elected officials, most of whom are Christian, but there's, this is also the other religions as well. So our elected officials on average are much more of them are religious than the public is. And I'm asking, is this a good thing or a bad thing?
So I would just make one little asterisk to that question is that politicians say they are religious.
Fair.
Because in this country, they have to. It's just the way it is.
Well, and that's where, so I got this from Axios,
yeah,
which wrote this up, and it's based off of Pew Research Center, and they found, they did a survey, basically. Yeah. So this is some of the stats to break it down for you at home and Greg and Jane. So of... The overrepresentation in Congress. So of the U.S. adults, 65.4% are Christian. Sorry, so I got that wrong before. It's not just religious, it's specifically Christian. 90% of Congress is Christian.
Yeah.
1.9% of U.S. adults are Jewish. 6.2% are in Congress. Of Congress, 6.2% is Jewish. So overrepresented there. And then it's flipped on the opposite side. So of members of Congress, 3.7% are unaffiliated or do not know versus 26%, almost 26.8% of U.S. adults. And the only equally represented group is 0.6% of U.S. adults are Muslim and 0.6% of Congress is Muslim, which is basically Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, I would think.
And the leader of the...
Is he Muslim or is he Christian?
No, he's Muslim.
He is Muslim. Yeah. Okay, so... Three. And there's probably another one I'm missing, but 0.6.
I'm surprised so many people in Congress will identify as unaffiliated because they have to be running in super, super safe districts and very liberal areas to say that, because I remember when Elizabeth Dole went after, I can't remember what her name was, saying she was an atheist, like trying to say she's an atheist, and thought that was going to be the way of Elizabeth Dole getting the senator, the job of senator. And her opponent, who I cannot remember right now, said, I am a Sunday school teacher. I am not, I mean, like, nothing against those individuals, but like, you were just patently wrong. But you can try to attack that, and that can win you an election, or in Elizabeth Dole's case, make it look like a moron. But I'm just surprised that many people are identifying as unaffiliated. That's shocking to me. In fact, if anything, I'm surprised the Christian number isn't higher.
Oh, higher than 90?
Yep.
Well, think about it. At 90, and then you add Jewish, that's at 96.
Okay, yeah.
You know, at that point, you're at 96.2%. Then you add Buddhist, and so yeah, so it's really like the 3% that is as unaffiliated.
Wow.
And so I just think it's interesting because I think you're right. On the one hand, it says, you know, when you are campaigning and you're saying that something like, I want to give you hope that things can be better, but I do not believe in God. Yep. And so like there's potentially like the cognitive dissonance between having faith in something and having faith then by proxy that things can and should be better. But it's also interesting in the way that then is not really representative as far as, especially on cultural issues, where we are as a society. And, you know, I mean, we haven't touched on this right now, but in Texas, didn't they just pass that they're going to put in public schools, put the Ten Commandments everywhere? And so, it's a catch 22, right? As far as, even if right now we said, and anyone at home, you at home saying, this is not a good thing, 844-967-2789, but would you vote for someone if they were proudly atheist?
If their policy is aligned with what I believe were like that represented me, absolutely. I mean, I've been voting for Christians for my entire life. So my entire voting life. So I don't have a problem voting for them. I would have no problem voting for an atheist, agnostic, a Buddhist, a Jewish person, Church of Satan. I wouldn't care. if they said, these are the things I believe in, I'd be like, all right, that's my person. I'm gonna punch that ticket.
Yeah, it's certainly for me, like, their religious affiliation is nowhere on the radar for me as far as who I vote for. But
that's easy for us to say, though.
Is it an assumption? Is it just because this is the way it's always been done, and so the assumption is you can't run successfully without talking about your religion and your faith?
Has
it been tested enough?
I think it depends. I think it depends on the office sought. So if you're running for school board, my guess, well, no, I take that back. I'm a pullback school board. School board is can be very religious now. But if you're running for alderperson, I mean, I don't remember a whole lot of when I was working on a campaign for mayor, even in Racine. I remember the whack job saying, what does he think about abortion? I'm like, well, he has his opinions on abortion, but that has nothing to do with this job. He has no power when it comes to that decision. He's not running for Supreme Court. So, I mean, if you're running for Congress, especially Congress nowadays, senator or president, you got to talk religion. You have to believe in God. The moment you'd say you don't believe in God, you might as well just cash in your chips and go home. I don't think I don't think there is a viable road to that office if you come out, unless you are saying, unless, like I said, you live in a very open-minded district or you are running as a very safe candidate.
And yet I find it so interesting that because you claim to be a religious person, that is no guarantee of actual piety.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't. It doesn't prove anything.
Whether you're an elected official.
Or not.
Or an average person.
Exactly.
And that's why I said who are Christian versus who say they are Christian, because it's easy to just say, well, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Jesus is my guy. That's my guy up there. That's my homeboy. Yeah.
Righteous Gemstones. Is that going to have a third season?
I think so,
season?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that show.
844-967-2789. Is it a good or a bad thing that our politicians claim to be far more religious than the general public? 608 checking in with a text. Love what you guys are doing for local politics and reminding me to vote locally. Anyone that needs the threat of eternal damnation to be a good person is not a good person.
Hey, maybe that's one of the reasons that Ron Johnson can give the Republicans to vote for them. Eternal damnation. There's one. You're welcome, Rojo.
Well, and the other thing that really bothers me is the cherry picking that goes on.
So that's the second time you brought up cherry picking today.
I know. But if you're gonna cite something from Leviticus as the hard and fast rule that has to be followed,
yeah,
there are a whole bunch of other things in Leviticus that you have to follow too. In my opinion.
I feel like I need to memorize that, because I see other people be able to roll that off the tongue as far as I've seen on TikTok a million times as far as everything Leviticus says.
It covers a lot of stuff.
And isn't it like you can't
No tattoos.
You can't lie next to your wife during your period.
No pork.
That one in there. No pork.
No bacon. No pork roast. Sorry.
You can't plant crops of different kinds across from each other.
I don't think women can cut their hair.
Touching the skin of a pig. There's a great scene from The West Wing that does that.
I know that wonderful. People can do it. I feel like that is a goal for me to memorize it so that I can quickly use that rebuttal. I don't come up against it very often.
But the thing
though.
Is, Leviticus is like old hat now. Someone like brings up Leviticus, they already know that they've lost the battle because they know that they're going to be just.
I don't think that's
smacked
true.
In the face. I don't hear anybody talking about Leviticus anymore. I just hear people just say, "Because the Bible says don't be gay," and like that's all they say. But they don't quote Leviticus anymore because they know. I mean, like,
I've seen a lot of TikTok comments with people talking about Leviticus, and then they get taken down very quickly by people who
point out the other things that are covered in Leviticus, yes. And those are laws that they don't like, and they don't support their arguments.
That aren't convenient.
Exactly.
Because I want to cut my hair.
Exactly. And I want to have a BLT, man.
Remember those signs from early pandemic and the original protests that were happening at the Capitol when people wanted to end the lockdown?
I want my hair.
And there was just that random woman who was like, I want a haircut.
That happened at Brookfield Square, and that woman, and I know for a fact that woman owned a salon inside of Brookfield Square. That's why she did it.
Really?
Yep, she did that. That was all.
That's some inside baseball that you're I did welcome. Not know. That was when I was early days locked in Wisconsin Rapids.
Inside Baseball with Greg, where I talk about everything but baseball.
844-967-2789. We're coming up against a break. We will be taking your calls and your texts on the other side. Is it a good or a bad thing that our politicians claim they are more religious than the general public?
Stay in your home, and I will love you forever.
Settle for big box service and pricing when it comes to your flooring.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life.
VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, out come tickets.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy this afternoon with a chance for scattered showers. High at 43. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast tonight. A mixture of precipitation likely. Lows level off around 34. Cloudy skies tomorrow. A mixture of precipitation likely. Highs around 42. Mid-40s Tuesday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Mid-50s partly cloudy Wednesday. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 40.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary for us to find common ground. Civic Media.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you. But I gotta think twice.
Is it a good or a bad thing that our political leaders are, on average, so much more religious than those us sinners?
There you go.
Apostates. I prefer apostate.
Ooh, good one.
It just sounds wonderful.
844-967-2789. Taking your calls. Scott from Chicago, thanks for joining us. Goes to Wisconsin. What do you want to say?
Hey, guys. So there's some, like, I'm probably going to be unpopular with most Christians listening to the station right now, but I am a strong Christian. And these days, I would vote for an atheist before I vote for someone who says they're Christian.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's saying something.
And why is that, Scott?
I mean, it goes to the famous Gandhi quote, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. I don't see a single politician that says they're Christian who acts like Christ.
And I think, you know, Scott, that's so interesting because I feel like, as I even made that epiphany about myself of just the things that I think are my value system, may or may not have come from like the religious background that I had as far as being a good person. Mm-hmm. But I remember from a very young age being like, why would I, like, this doesn't make any sense that you're supposed to be a good person under threat of going to hell versus just doing it to do it, or of the promise of going to heaven. Like, it feels like the bad motivations for doing the right thing is because of some eventual carrot or stick.
Yeah. It's,
yeah. And it's like, I mean, I'm not Christian because I'm afraid of hell. I'm Christian because that's that's a whole different debate. But, like, I don't see a single politician who says they're Christian who acts like the Bible.
And if they did act like the Bible, would that make you want to vote for them? Or do you think it's something, because we should be a division of church and state, that shouldn't be a part of the calculus at all?
I don't think that the politics should play in. I don't think the religion should play into the political stances. I think the religion should affect their moral beliefs, mm-hmm. and those moral beliefs should motivate those policies, not their religious beliefs.
I totally agree, Scott.
Really appreciate the call, Scott. Thank you
very
so
well
much.
Very well put, Scott.
844-967-2789. If you want to check in with us, either text or phone. 414 says, here's a term you see on a lot of campaign literature. I believe in Christian values. This does not mean the person is religious, church-going, or a believer. It is a line to get elected. Mm-hmm. There's so many more qualities to getting elected than whether you're religious or not. To me, character is what counts.
Yeah. And it's just interesting because it feels like there is, I'm sure most risk-averse campaign managers would never let you not run with some kind of religious affiliation.
Yeah, they would tell you to lie.
Yeah, and in because it's not tested, like you said, unless you're in a very safe seat, and with gerrymandering in so many states, there's plenty of those.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to think of like who's going to be the sacrificial lamb. Like let's test this theory on how many people, how many voters out there really care whether or not how religious I am. And obviously it's different depending, like you said, I don't remember in the mayor's race for Milwaukee when Mayor Johnson won, him talking about his religious affiliation.
Yeah. They can say things of like, you know, my faith in people, my faith in family, but they're never given questions that regard or define their faith. And honestly, someone who could today be like, yeah, I don't believe in God anymore, will be just fine. Robin Voss, he could do that today. He honestly could, and I think there'd be very little repercussion on the action.
Well, look at what happened with Donald Trump, for heaven's sakes. He was asked what his second or his favorite
verse was.
His favorite, it was 2 Corinthians. No, that's not right.
Yeah. He likes them all. They're all great.
They're all my favorites.
Especially the ones that deal with slavery. He loves those ones too. He loves all the words. He reads the best words, Jane.
Absolutely.
The best words. Yes. Donald Trump for 2024.
Is this a new thing, or have you been calling him this for a while?
I've been calling this for a while, but I've never done it on air. This is the premiere joke.
It does roll off the tongue nicely.
Yeah, I prefer it to people like making other nicknames for him, because they all seem to be like underhand mean. Now he's a mean guy, but I just like Donald Trump just sounds funny to me.
Trump?
I have a
Donald Trump.
I have an extension on my computer that anytime the word Trump comes up, it comes up as Drumpf.
Sometimes it's the little joys in life, right,
Thank
Greg?
You,
if you do not know what we're talking about, I'm gonna write this as a reminder to myself. Back in 2016,
yeah,
during the election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, Last Week Tonight, John Oliver did a whole half hour basically. Yep. Dedicated to his last name and the power and the influence of a name like Trump. But they basically did like the etymology, like background research, that likely his last name derives from Drumpf.
D-R-U-M-P-F. Drumpf.
And was that ever fact-checked?
I think so, yeah. Well, yeah, I think so.
Because, I mean, they do their research on that show, but it was such a ridiculous premise, and how over the top the episode was. There was like a big sign that came down. I think there was confetti.
Make America Drumpf again. But then they created a Chrome extension that you install it, and anytime Trump comes up on there, it reads as Drumpf. Still works.
Send me the link to the extension so I can put it in the show notes for today.
Will do. Will do.
Why spread the joy? Isn't that some Christian values where you spread the love?
Exactly. Sharing. It's about sharing what you have.
Making America Drumpf.
All right.
Again.
When we come back, Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford is going to join us. She is a comedian based out of Madison, but she is also the first ever trans woman to be elected to office in Madison. On April 4th, she was elected to Common Council. So I'm excited to talk to her about what the new job's like, what inspired her to run, and also what transferable skills being a comedian brings to being an elected official. So stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I gotta have faith. I gotta have faith.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Ben.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer.
A manhunt is underway in Texas for a shooter who killed five people in the town of Cleveland. Police say intoxicated 39-year-old Francisco Oropeza refused to heed calls to stop shooting guns late Friday night, then walked to the house of the neighbors who had asked him to mind a sleeping baby and started shooting. Five people killed, the youngest just 8 years old. Jacinto County Sheriff Greg Capers says they found the suspect's phone.
He could be anywhere now. We located the device that we were looking for, found it abandoned. There was some articles of clothing laying around. The tracking dogs from Texas Department of Corrections picked up the scent, and then they lost that scent in the water.
Americans evacuated in a convoy in Sudan as a ceasefire is extended for another 72 hours. The U.S. Army ordering mandatory training following two mid-air helicopter collisions in recent weeks that have left 12 service members dead. This is ABC News.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. There's no word yet why a train derailed in southwest Wisconsin yesterday. Four people were injured. As many as 20 cars left the tracks near DeSoto. Some of the cars were carrying paint, batteries, and oxygen containers. Governor Evers says he's been briefed. Local governments in Wisconsin could get 20% of all state sales tax income in the future. That's under a new shared revenue plan unveiled by legislative Republicans, Representative Tony Kurtz.
So if the state does well, our locals are going to do well. And I think that's a key point.
Details are expected next week. In sports, Iowa linebacker Lucas Van Ness is the Green Bay Packers' first pick in the NFL draft. The Brewers host the Angels tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Moms, they really are the best. So this year, give her something really special. Write a special message for your mom, and we'll broadcast it right here on this station throughout the entire weekend of Mother's Day. Call 608-819-8255. 608-819-8255.
Boat Tussle is building out the best fiber network in rural Wisconsin to deliver ultra-fast fiber internet where others can't or won't. Based in Wisconsin and backed by local support, Buck Tussle is bringing fiber internet services to your area at an honest price without any contracts or data caps. Call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924. Or visit btussle.com and get connected with Buck Tussle today for internet, cellular, and entertainment.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madinaire. And sobriety, sober curious, just drinking less, all of those things are on the rise. In fact, the no alcohol drinks market surpassed $11 billion in 2022.
Holy cow. Wow.
Yeah, which is up. Yeah, which is up from $8 billion in 2018. And a part of the, you know, part of that market, obviously, some is the actual packaged NA drinks and NA beer and NA wine. But it's also establishments. It's also bars, and bars like Inoxicated, which is in Racine. And here to tell us more about that bar and the NA scene there is Inoxicated's manager, Jeff Gustin. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good. And so how long have you been working at Inoxicated? I guess, how long have you guys been open?
Well, we've been open a year and a half.
Okay, so still pretty new.
Yeah, we're the new kids on the block, but we're growing fast.
And so what is the scene like? Like, what is, like, kind of paint a picture of what a night out at Inoxicated as a place that does not serve any alcohol, but also serves many other alcohol-adjacent fun mocktails. Yeah. What does an average night look like?
It looks just like any other typical bar in Wisconsin, except everybody's sober. I've bartended on and off my whole life, so we basically recreated your typical Wisconsin corner bar. We just left the alcohol out. We used all different alternatives and recreate the classic drinks by taste. So people that don't want to drink or are living a sober lifestyle can have their nightlife back without alcohol interfering in it.
Jeff, I just think the whole thing is so great. I really do. This is certainly something we've talked about before on this show. The growing number of places, growing number of people. It's national headlines all the time about how much Wisconsinites drink. So it's really, it's really wonderful to see these alternatives popping up and for people to still have a place to go and have fun instead of, you mean you're not going to have a drink?
You'll never get questioned here.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, it's a terrible question, though. And it's like, what do you mean you're not going to have a drink? What? Because I'm guilty of something if I'm not imbibing?
That's the way they make you feel, especially here in Wisconsin. And because of that, a lot of people that, you know, are living a sober lifestyle, they just don't go out. Yeah. Every event in Wisconsin seems to be centered around alcohol or have alcohol present. So somebody that's battling an addiction, they have no place to go. And we're not just geared towards people in addiction. We're geared towards everybody that doesn't want to have a drink this particular day. It's just going over very well. And the more people that find us, the more people that come out. And we do, like I said, everything you would see in a bar, we have here. I don't know if you can see too well behind me. That's my back bar.
Yeah.
All alcohol-free alternatives that we make our cocktails with.
So I guess that's my next question, because I feel like NA beer has come a very long way. There are so many different options that are really, really good. I have not ventured into NA wine. I have tried one NA bourbon alternative that maybe I just need to mix it with the right mixers, but I was not impressed with that one. So as far as what has been like in the market of NA alternatives, is it some that are specifically supposed to taste like booze but aren't boozy, or is it just kind of in the mocktail, like it's about mixing the right ingredients together to kind of replicate that?
With the alternatives, they're not made to be drank alone. They have to be mixed to come to life. We do have a whiskey or a bourbon alternative that I can drink straight on ice.
Wait, what's the name of that one?
Spiritless Kentucky 74.
Okay.
There's a trick to that, because there's a product called Disco Inferno that you put two drops in your drink, and it doesn't change the taste, but it gives you that sensation that you just had a drink.
Oh.
Really brought it up to the next level. But even with that, most of the alternatives, you can taste where they're trying to go. But once you mix them is when they come to life.
So what are some of the, like, your, what are the more popular mocktails that you guys make?
So one of our biggest ones is, we're in Wisconsin, so you had to have an old fashioned.
Yep.
And we do ours with a whiskey alternative, and we use a smoke top and a torch, and we smoke it with oak wood. So it gives it that aged barrel sense of taste when you smell the oak when you come up to take a drink. One of our other best-selling ones is a White Russian. It's made with cold brew coffee, a vanilla vodka alternative, and Irish cream. And I have one of those almost every day. They're phenomenal.
just call you the sober Big Lebowski.
Exactly. We currently got about 20 mocktails on our menu, and we can just about duplicate any drink. If you came in and ordered your favorite alcohol version drink, I would tell you if I can make it so that it'll taste right or not. You know, last thing I want to do is give you something that doesn't taste right.
Jeff, has the alcohol-free wine, is that getting any better? Because I did try some a couple of years ago, and I was not impressed.
See, I was never a wine person. I didn't like it all along. And I don't like the alcohol-free wine because it tastes like wine. We have a couple wines that are really good sellers. I've actually had a customer get teared up because she thought she would never taste red wine again.
Oh.
So the people that like wine, there is a good substitute out there, and they don't just taste like juice anymore. They have that wine taste. And part of the reason is because a lot of them are de-alkalizing wine that's already made. So they go through all the steps of making the wine, and they pull all the alcohol back out and just leave you with the flavor.
We're talking to Jeff Gustin, who's the manager at Inmoxicated, which is in Racine, and it is a no-alcohol bar. And so you said that on and off for your adult life, you've been a bartender. So were you a mixologist, like specifically crafting cocktails that did have alcohol in them before were here?
I called myself a bartender, and until I started here, I just served drinks.
Okay.
I worked at your typical Wisconsin bars. I poured whiskey and Coke into a glass and said I was a bartender. I didn't become a bartender until we opened here and we started designing and coming up with our own drinks from scratch and really putting that extra effort into it. All of our drinks are measured per the recipe. They're all fully garnished the way they should be. Alcohol's not the entertainment. So they're coming here for a good experience all the way through. And it's pretty rewarding when you come up with a brand new drink that nobody else has and your customer tells you how good it is.
Yeah, I would imagine. And so I guess, so there's that part of it. But you said that in the beginning that the bar, you know, it's looks like a bar. There's trivia nights. There's all the fun. But I have to imagine bar time looks a little different.
Yes. We close that. I never knew bartending could be this good.
Wow.
Somebody spills a drink, it's legitimately an accident. We've never had an argument. The bathrooms are clean at the end of the night. And people that aren't alcohol driven, we go home early. I mean, we close at 10 o'clock.
I was going to ask, how late are you guys open?
We close at 10 o'clock because our customer base does go home early. And yeah. We're not one of those places. We don't want to be a stop for people to try to come in here and sober up. If we suspect somebody's been drinking, we'll ask them to leave. You have to be sober to be here. We're alcohol free, and we don't want the alcohol problems to come in after somebody has fueled up somewhere else, so to speak.
And I have to think too, Jeff, that for young single women or for any single woman, it's got to be a lot easier to go into a bar that doesn't serve alcohol if you just want to have a drink and a conversation without getting drooled over, or right?
I've heard that, how nice it is not having to worry about that.
Some drunk schmuck, and you know, you got to fend him off. And I just think it just sounds like a pleasant experience all the way around. I assume you have bar dice. It is Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Funny story with the bar dice. We had a group of ladies in here shooting pool, a group of guys came in, and the guy's sitting at the bar says, "I'm gonna go introduce myself." I'm like, "Oh, no, yeah." All my past is coming out. I can see it. I have never seen a more respectful introduction. They all shot pool for a while. Then they came back to the bar and sat down and shot bar dice. They got halfway through the first round, and one of the ladies stops and goes, "What are we playing for?"
I was just going to ask my question.
Well, you know what they did? They played for shots just like they used to. And they had a blast, and they played for a good hour straight. But we don't have the problems you see in traditional bars. And I'm not saying all bars have problems, but there's always that alcohol-driven potential, and we just don't see that here.
And it's so funny that it's, you know, baked into our, and I've lived a lot of different places, and this is everywhere, that's like a drinking bar culture where you kind of get a, you know, you get a jail out of free card, unless you're actually in jail for something you did while drunk. But, you know, it's like we excuse behavior that if sober, we would never tolerate, of like trashing a bathroom, spilling drinks, starting a fight. But for some reason, when there's alcohol involved, we're like, well, they were drunk. And we just kind of excuse it. And so it's so fascinating to hear that this is the best bartending job you've had, because there's just so many less issues you have to deal with and, you know, people problems.
Yeah, like I said, I never knew it could be this good.
And so for you, what was the motivation? Were you skeptical at all as far as making, like, leaving a traditional bar to go do this?
I worked on and off at different bars, so I didn't leave a bar to come here. Shannon Goodman, who's the owner, we're actually engaged. So we're doing this as a partnership, and because I had the experience, I just apply it here. It's pretty much the same concept. It's just a little bit different, you know, as far as events and trying to read people, because they're not alcohol driven. But you know, it just seemed like the right thing. She quit drinking. Today is actually her 2-year anniversary from not drinking. So I got everything all decorated, and we're having a big party tonight.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's incredible. Well, congratulations both on the engagement and to her. And I'm so happy to hear. I mean, a year and a half, especially a new concept coming out of COVID, had to be intimidating as far as like, how is this going to stick? And so to hear that you guys, people like it and people are showing up, is so encouraging to hear. As far as I think there's just a lot more people who are, even if they're not giving up drinking entirely, wanting the option to not feel pressured to have to drink all the time.
Yeah, we've seen everything. You can come and sit here and sit next to somebody that's been sober for 30 years, and the person on the other side is going to a traditional bar after he has a couple drinks here. He's starting his night here. So we have every walk of life, every age. You know, it's just like walking into a bar.
That is a good question, though. Is it any age? So can kids go in?
We were 21 and up, but we changed it to 18 and up. So we wanted to give them, you know, a chance to see what's out there without having to experience the alcohol. And it's such a growing trend that, you know, especially the younger kids, they're not drinking like we used to. Yeah. Like I used to.
And I used to either.
that's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
Janie, do you have a question?
Again, what are some of the other things that you're hearing from customers, Jeff? It just sounds like such an oasis for people who are still social and want to be sociable. And again, without all of that pressure of what's wrong with you, you're not drinking. So what have some of your customers said?
We've had very grateful customers. Some are finally, you know, they're so thrilled to finally get their nightlife back, have something to go out and do without running the risk of slipping up and having alcohol. We've had people tell us they wouldn't still be sober if we weren't here. You know, they have a bad day at work, so his habits were going to a traditional bar. He has his old habit back. He comes here and has a beer, but it's not an alcohol beer. So he's not slipping up, but he's still getting his frustration out and winding his day down, you know, by his old habits, just a healthier way.
Well, this is awesome. Jane, we have to go down. We'll make a trip down to Racine and come visit you guys and have one of those old-fashioned. But Jeff Gustin, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown?
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the grave digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standing room only? You ain't going to find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't going to find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come pick it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy this afternoon with a chance for scattered showers. High at 43. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast tonight. A mixture of precipitation likely. Lows level off around 34. Cloudy skies tomorrow. A mixture of precipitation likely. Highs around 42. Mid-40s Tuesday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Mid-50s partly cloudy Wednesday. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 40.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And this is another day that it's just flown by.
It really has. Jeff was great. That was so much fun. And it's so encouraging.
It is really encouraging. And now I'm trying to think. There's a new one in Wausau, too. I feel like I was listening to Bullfall Radio this morning. And we had a commercial running on the radio station that was a new alcohol-free bar up there, and now the name of the location is escaping me, but not that I have plans to become sober anytime soon, but I've been cutting back drinking, and it's interesting to think of how much being around people who drink makes you want to drink.
Definitely.
Because, you know, it's also just sometimes being the only sober one at the end of the night. You're like, yeah, I'm going to go home. Like, I've had this experience and then had to be like, oh, I'm also the person who sometimes is so drunk that I think I'm making sense. And the person I'm talking to who's also drunk thinks I make sense. But then if you're the sober person in that conversation, you're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, how are you following each other's conversation? Neither of you make any sense right now.
Different plane of logic or illogic, as it were.
But it's like the fact that they can talk to each other and they get it. And yet the sober one is like, I am not following you right now.
Which just indicates what it does to your brain. I mean, seriously, it definitely alters you. So I'm just delighted to hear of Inmoxicated success. And as you said, there are some others growing around the state, and that's great. And it would be great too if the younger generation coming up will not only vote more regularly than my generation did, but they will drink less than my generation did.
But that's interesting. So if your generation was not voting much, was it just apathy? Like post Vietnam War, there was just a generation of, why would I vote? Why does it matter?
Life's pretty good. Life's pretty good, you know? And if you weren't fired up by the Equal Rights Amendment or women's issues, I think it was a lot easier just to let things go. And that that apathy of, it's not going to affect me. You know, it's not going to, whoever I vote for, the outcome is not going to change my life or affect my life very much.
Well, it's also interesting to think if it was, you know, like things just didn't seem that bad, or if like everything was just kind of like, well, it's fine, versus, I don't know, when you could probably attribute it to a lot of different things, whether it's a 24-hour news cycle or social media, of just more information and more entities out there, whether purposefully trying to scare you or just the reality of
this is what
certain
it is.
Facts scaring you into action versus maybe what it was like in the 70s. Because I don't, at the top of my head, I can't remember the charts as kind of the ebbs and flows of 18 to 25 or 21 to 27, right? Like the youngest voting age of what, how much people were voting. But right now people are fired up, which
is great. It is great. And I think they are in, they are becoming more informed and not just voting for the D or the R, but actually finding out what the candidate behind that letter stands for.
Yeah. And well, truly they, we make it so easy now, as far as it's just at your fingertips, which is also interesting because then I feel like the push to limit kids' social media use, which I think there are some good arguments for it because there is plenty of evidence that shows how detrimental it can be to their mental health. And yet it is also a tool for them to get a lot of information and be the most informed generation we've ever had, right? Of coming out of high school is just how much they know. That certainly when I was in high school, like I, you know, I had to write one really long paper in high school and I wrote it on Queen Elizabeth I. And that was like checking books out. This was in high school. And like, you could look up some information online, but
you still had to
mostly
go to
it was, I was checking books out about Queen Elizabeth and citing, like I had a bunch of book, you know, like the little post-it notes of like, this is where I'm going to come back and I'm going to rewrite this and blah, blah, blah. But then if that would have been 2002, by 2000, 10 years later, when I was writing my thesis, I don't think I checked a single book out.
Different world. Right?
Like, just I think
a completely
it was all
different world. Yeah.
JSTOR.org of written like papers and research that have been published, but I could download as a PDF and copy and paste into, you know, collect my quotes, recite them, quote them. But in such a short period of time of just like how easy it was. And now it's even easier.
Yeah.
I'd imagine.
Definitely.
So, all right. Well, that was a fun. That was a very fun show. But tomorrow, Greg Bach will be back. And we're actually going to talk to a journalist who is a free, she's a freelance journalist, and she wrote an article for Cap Times about a underground sharing economy that's happening in Madison. We're like, no money needed, no tender exchanged. It is all trade.
Really?
Yeah. So that's going to be tomorrow at 1. And I think that's going to be super interesting to see what she learned as she was researching for that article.
So it's a barter economy.
It's a barter economy. Of course it's happening in Madison.
Well, naturally.
But yeah, so I'm excited about that. But then coming up next, obviously you got Luke and Brian for Dueling Tangents. You got Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio. So stay tuned for that. And then at 4 o'clock, at 2 o'clock, you have Matt Flynn. Then 4 o'clock, you got
Dominic and Jim Santel today.
Jim Santel.
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
so that'll be interesting. Jim Santel, because Crude is still gone for now. But stick around on Civic Media and always come back tomorrow when we'll do this all again. But thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. Thank you for listening. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green.